Now Krishna is telling that bird, Arjuna, now you are covered by this case. I am giving you knowledge. This knowledge is 20, if you have counted it, is 20. He has given you 20 different types of knowledge. And how to get out from this cage? See, normally, when the warden puts you in jail, he doesn't give you a book to tell you how to escape from the jail. But Krishna is different kind of jailer. He puts you in this jail because you wanted to be in this jail. Because you wanted to be separate from Krishna. You didn't want to enjoy yourself with Krishna, but you said you wanted to enjoy by yourself. So Krishna, out of his kindness, created this cage and put you inside this cage. This cage is a material nature. So Krishna has done that. But he is very kind also at the same time. He doesn't want you to be in the cage. He wants you to come out. So he is giving you the key. He has given you 20 different keys to open it, to open the door of the cage. Now, if we are intelligent, we will use one of the keys, right? But we are not intelligent. So we'll throw away all the key and say, no. Let me see how the cage is constructed. Where is the weak point in this cage? And let me come out. Foolish. Krishna has already given you the key, but you don't want it. You want to do your own philosophical, trying to use your own mind to think how intelligent we are. This is what the scientists are doing. How is this world created? They are trying to figure it out. Was it a big bang? Was it collapsing of the whole universe? Or was it the lava, hot lava, that burst out? They got so many nonsensical theories. Krishna has already given the Vedas and said, this is how the world was created and this is how he went in. Please come out. No. This is our problem. So Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is giving you the knowledge now. Take this knowledge. This is actually the means of getting out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body. See? We must realize that we are not the body. It's the first step in knowing who we are. Otherwise it's very difficult to understand. We are trying to think, or rather we all know that we are the body. Let's face it. All of us, when I say so and so Prabhu, or so and so Mataji, then you say, yes, it's me. Because why? Immediately you identify yourself with yourself. You never say, no, I am not this body, no, I am the soul. Even those who have come to know Bhagavad Gita, still they are having trouble. We are also having trouble. So it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But Krishna is trying to make it easy. He's trying to give you the knowledge now. Of the description of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Mai chanandya yogena bhaktir avya vicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. What does the Lord say? Constant and unalloyed devotion to me. That is the meaning of that verse. That is what Krishna is saying. If you achieve that, then everything else falls into place. So, how do you get this unalloyed devotional service? Prabhupada goes further to say that if you do not approach or not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items of knowledge in this verse is useless. No value. Because they have not come to know Krishna. So what he is trying to say is, if you know Krishna, all this becomes an ornament. It falls on you. Simply, you don't even have to endeavor. You don't have to endeavor to say, oh, I must have humility, I must have pridelessness, I must have non-violence. No, you don't even have to do it. It's very simple. If you have unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, you will have all these 19. Everything will come to you and stand at the door, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, knocking on the door and says, please, can I come in? Can I serve you? Then it will come. But we don't have to look for it. This is what Prabhupada is saying. And Krishna is saying, if one takes to devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarve Gunai Satra Samaste Surava. What is the meaning? This is the prayers of the demigods there in Jambudvipa in Canto 5. They are offering this prayer to the Lord. One of these prayers, I'll give you the English translation. All the demigods and their exalted qualities. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. That means what? If you come to the point of becoming a demigod, that means you have the qualities of a demigod. What does a demigod do? He's devoted to Krishna. So all the good qualities come to you. They develop automatically. You don't even have to endeavor. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Heavy statement, huh? If you are devoid of devotional service, engaged in material activities, you have no good qualities. Even if he is adept, that means even if he is good at the practice of mystic yoga, or even he is doing honest work in maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations. And must, Krishna says, I mean this prayer, must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. Heavy statement again. If you are in devotional service, automatically you are in Krishna's service. If you think you do your own thing, and you say, oh, I am doing good, I never harm anybody, I am looking after my family, right? I am taking care of them, I am doing everything nicely. You must be engaged in Maya service, not Krishna service. This is a statement that is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, at the end, the devotees in Jambadvip, the residents of Jambadvip ask, how can there be any good qualities in such a man? How can there be any good qualities? Cannot be, because you don't have knowledge. You don't have intelligence. It's like we were reading in Prabhupada Nectar. The boy came to Mayapur and he's sitting down. He wants to live in a tree and chant 150 rounds, 120 rounds. He's got no intelligence. He's got no knowledge. What should be done and what should not be done? Because he's not taking instructions in the Guru Parampara. Later we'll go in detail. The Prabhupada further goes on to say, The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Yes, see. Krishna has said, you must accept, in the very first verse, the fourth line, the first verse, you must approach a spiritual master. You have to approach. What is it? Acharya Upasanam. Acharya Upasanam. Sorry. Acharya Upasanam. You must approach the spiritual master. Why? It is like you can take medical books. Yeah? You take medical books and you read. You can go to the bookshop, you know, they sell all the books you want. All the medical books. First year to the final year. 5 year course, 5 years all the books you can buy. Go home, read all the medical books. But can you claim to be a doctor? You cannot. Nobody will recognize you. You can insist, you can go to the medical council and say, I've read all the books. I know all the words. I can memorize every page. You tell me which page, I will tell you. You can give me an exam, I'll pass. But you are not recognized. Just like a lawyer, you take the law books, you read, you can't go to the court and say, I want to be the judge. You can't be the judge, you cannot. You are not qualified, you are not trained. You must go to the medical school. You must go to the medical college. You must go to the law school. Then, and only then, after the teachers, the acharyas in the medical school or the law school confirm that, yeah, this student knows this work very well and he knows how to apply it. That's important, no? Application of your knowledge, that's very important. Not just knowledge is important, no? No. Application, how do you apply in various circumstances? Very, very important. Once you know that, then you're qualified. And then, you can become a lawyer, you can become a doctor. Similarly, spiritual knowledge is the same. You need an acharya to teach you. The Prabhupada further goes now he is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, say Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this, whatever Krishna has said, is nonsense. Anybody else comes and tells you, oh, this is the way to know God, or this is the way of doing, it's absolutely nonsense. You can just reject it straight away. Now, Prabhupada is going through all the different knowledge. First, humility. Then he's analyzing it. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge who knows that he is not this body, anything honor or dishonor pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. Looking for honor, Prabhupada says very clearly here, it's a deception by Maya. Material nature is trying to deceive you. Don't look for honor. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. And consequently, sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of knowledge, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles. And then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. you must cultivate humility. Humility is often mistaken by a lot of us to be meekness, meek, to be very like a mouse. Yeah? I must be like a mouse in behavior. And that is humility. But Vaishnava humility is a spiritual quality, not material. Yeah? Vaishnava humility is spiritual. It comes from understanding that you are your real self. You understand who you are, the spirit soul. You are the spirit soul and you have a relationship with the Lord. It also means that you understand that you are an instrument of the Lord. That is humility. In our mind, we must think, I am not, or rather I do not have any good qualities. On my own strength, I cannot accomplish anything. Independently, but my own self, I cannot do anything independently. I am of no special significance. I am not special. Yeah? I am not special in this whole universe. Look at this whole universe, Who are we? Nothing. We are of no special significance. This is how we should be thinking. My only qualification as a devotee is the order of my spiritual master and Krishna. Only by their potency I am able, or rather I am empowered to do anything they wish. Right? This is how we should be thinking, and that is humility. Not that we are thinking other things. Most of us, are thinking, they do not understand properly, what did they say? I want to act humbly. Oh, I want to be humble. You act humble just to attract other people to say, oh, this Prabhu is very humble. That is acting. That we don't want. They want people to say, oh, this, they want the honor, They are thinking, oh, people will say, oh, I'm such a great, humble person. This is not true. We do not want that. Prabhupada says very clearly here, that you should not hanker for the satisfaction of others honoring you. You don't hanker for that. You don't do a nice kirtan or give a good class and then say, Prabhu, did I do well? Did I do well? Or waiting for people to say, oh Prabhu, you did so nicely. The kirtan was so nice. The class was so good. No, that is not our job. Our job is to please Krishna. That's all. The problem is, in material humility, we put ourselves in the center of everything that we do. In spiritual humility, we put Krishna in the center and we do whatever Krishna wants. That's the difference. Remember, don't put yourself in the center and always expecting things. That is very, very important. Then you know what is humility. Yeah? That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the meaning of humility. Srinadati sumichena sarorati harishnana. Manina manadina kirtane sadahari. Only then can you chant the holy name without any hindrance. You have to be very, very tolerant, very, very humble, meek. Like the grass. When the grass, you step on it, does the grass shout, hey, stop stepping on me, it hurts. No. You just okay. After you gone, it's back. He comes up again. The grass is humble. He doesn't care. So similarly, we should not care for anything. Our only focus should be how to please Krishna and his devotees. How to please. That's all. Nothing else. We can understand that. That's the first step to becoming Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada says, if you want to know how you advance in spiritual science, you should judge by these items. How humble you are, how prideless you are, how tolerant you are. Example of a devotee is Hanuman. Hanuman did so many things. Yeah, he went to the planet to get some leaves and to because Lakshman was dead, you know. So Lakshman was dead, he had to go and get some leaves and herbs to cure him. He went and he fought so many people and he brought in fact he brought the whole field back. He said, I don't know which is the plant, which is the herb, you just take it. He crossed the ocean to go to Lanka. One leap, he went to Lanka. He did so many things. But he didn't say, I did it because I am so strong. He did it on the strength of Lord Ram's name. That's all. But just see the humility of Lord Hanuman. That is what we should cultivate, the humility. Why we have all these literatures and stories and all that? Huh? Because we have to try to follow. We cannot come to the same level as these devotees, but at least we try to follow in their footsteps. The other example, of course, is Srila Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada is the perfect example of humility. You know, at that advanced age, he went to the United States, to New York. At that advanced age, he went around the whole world at least 11 times. At that advanced age, he set up 108 or more temples around the world. At that advanced age, he wrote so many books. He translated so many, all the Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, except the 11th and 10, 11 and 12. And he translated Chaitanya Charitamrita. He condensed the 10th and 12. These tasks that he performed is humanly impossible. And yet, he is not famous. People know him only as for the founder acharya of the Hare Krishna movement. If you ask him what has he done or how he has done so many things, reporters always ask, this is not my doing. All this work is the blessing of Guru Maharaj and Krishna. That's his humility. He lived just to popularize the Hare Krishna movement and to canvas for Krishna. He just did that. And because of his doing all that, now we are all sitting here. Otherwise, we don't know anything about Krishna. Nothing, zero. We have misconceptions about God. So, but a person who has done so much, he didn't take any credit. So that is perfect humility. That is what we have to try and cultivate. Okay, let's go on. Non-violence, now before that. The next one is pridelessness. Prabhupada didn't talk much about pridelessness here, but I'm going to say a few words. Even before one becomes proud, one says things like, just before you become proud, you will say these things. I did this. This is my work. I cooked this. I set up this. I did all the alangaram for the deities. I got all the flowers. I did this, I did that. This is my work. See, I did so nicely. This is the first step. This shows the dual mentality. The mental frame of mind, I am doing everything. We are the Lord of all that disobey. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities, that there is actuality carried out by the three modes of nature. Yeah? Krishna says that we think we are doing, but actually it's carried out by the three modes of nature. The modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. This is controlling everything. We think, I am doing it. We don't realize. This false ego refers to the identification with the body. Because of this false ego, the jiva considers himself the doer. Because I am Parthasarathi, I am doing it. Wrong. You are not the doer. In the field of activity, Krishna says there are five, right? The place of action, the body. The doer, the performer, the jiva, the senses, the different kinds of endeavors, and Krishna himself. So the five different factors in the field of activities. If there are five different, we are only one part of it, and yet we think we are the doer. That's our problem. Yeah? So this is because of false ego, identification with the body. This is the first thing we must really, really, really understand. We are not the body. It's a very difficult thing for us to do, because millions and millions of lives we have taken birth. Because of that, our attachment to the body is very, very strong. We cannot come out of this misconception. Very difficult. No matter what we say, after some time we just go back to the same mode and say, I forget I'm the soul. I'm the body. I have a wife. I have a kid. I have a house. I have to do all these things. Even if you're not. That we have to drill into the mind. You're not the body. You're not the body. You're not the body. You're the soul. All this coming together of family members and friends is like a wave in the ocean. Comes together, goes away. Comes together, goes away. We cannot be bewildered by this. Please, that's why we have to wake up. We really have to wake up and consider this very, very carefully. I am not the body. This one, we have to do that. If you don't do that, very difficult. So the first step in dealing with pride is to understand that I am not this body. I am spirit, and everything that is connected to the body and the byproduct is not mine. The Supreme Personality, Godhead, is the ultimate proprietor. He is the owner of everything that we see. The jiva is simply a caretaker. We are the caretakers of whatever Krishna has given us. All the gifts that we have possessed, good body, house, whatever, wife, children, is gifts of Krishna. Not your own. Don't think that this is mine. I worked for it. No. I started from young age. I studied very, very hard. I went to university. I got a good job. I worked hard. I got money. I bought all these things. Krishna didn't give me this. No. Krishna gave you everything. Everything is settled. By destiny, this is yours. karma. Krishna has given you this because of your karma, not because you earn. You can see this very clearly in so many families. The parents can be equal to all the children, but the children will be different. You can see for yourself. Even in your own hand, all five fingers not the same. Anybody got same five fingers, same length? Nobody. Why? This is all Krishna has given you, different karmas according to your past life. So we cannot sit here and say, oh, I am going to work harder and harder and harder. And I am going to get, yeah, work hard. I am not saying you shouldn't work hard. But know who is the ultimate giver, who has given you all these things. Krishna has given you, not your own mind. Because I have seen people go up very rich, next one moment they are very poor. They are still working hard, but they are poor. Why? One moment they are very healthy, next moment they are very sick. One moment they are very sick, next moment they are very healthy. Have you any control over this? No, we don't have. So we must realize who has given us this gift and appreciate Krishna. Pride is a demonic quality. Prabhupada says, Krishna also says in chapter 16, pride is one of the qualities that belongs to those of demonic quality, nature. In his purport, Prabhupada says, the demonic want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science. Although they do not follow the principles, they are always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education for so much wealth. The exhibition of false superiority is pride. Superior, you think you are bigger, you are better than another person, that is pride. This is the exact opposite of humility. You must know this, because then you know what is pride, what is being humble. This pride is false because one who has taken birth in the material world is in a fallen situation. No matter who you are, you can be Bill Gates, you can be the richest person, but still, when you have taken birth in this material world, you are a fallen conditioned soul. You are subject to the material nature's whims and fancies. You cannot run away. You cannot run away. Just look at Tiger Woods. Yeah? He's so famous. Why, yet? At one time everybody says, "Wow, this boy is so good. He can play so well. Such a nice person." Next moment, gone. Krishna revealed everything. You cannot hide. You can be busy in there, but what's happening? Now nothing. Right? He's got the skill Krishna has given. But he didn't acknowledge God. Right? If he had followed God's principles, he wouldn't have done all this nonsense. Right? Not enough. What to do? Foolish person. So he's got trapped by the demonic mentality. Lord Krishna concludes in 16:10 that having taken shelter in pride, the demonic thus illusions are always sworn to unclean work. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that those induced by pride and false prestige create some principles of religion which are not approved by Vedic injunction. And then in 16:18, Krishna explains that materialistic people, bewildered by pride, become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and blaspheme the Vedic scriptures. So when you do that, you fall down. So you blaspheme Krishna and the devotees and the scriptures, you fall down. Then you have to be careful. Otherwise, what happens? You are gone. You cannot be happy, you know. You got $1 billion, you're not happy, you know. Anyway, people who think money is everything, just see if I go. $1 billion is a billionaire. I know what is a golfer. Some of you don't know. It's a golf pro, professional golfer. So just see, so much money. What happened? No use. Money is not everything. Money is not everything. You must be careful. So, if you have pride, it is like intoxication, you know. It's like a guy who drinks a lot. What happens to a person who drinks a lot? He cannot check his senses. He loses his senses. He don't know what he is doing. That's what happens. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah? Dhruva Maharaj was so proud of his powers. So one day he went to see Ambarish Maharaj, you know, King Ambarish, right? So he went to see him, and at that time, Ambarish Maharaj was fasting, you know, so he's fasting, and then he says, please, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, will you please come and take prasad? He says, okay, I will take prasad. But first, I have to wait. He went to wait. He said, next time, next week, I'm coming to cleanliness, you know, Sauchan. So he went to take the bath. But the time for breaking the fast was approaching. So Ambarish Maharaj was thinking, I fasted one whole day. If I don't break the fast, my fast is wasted. But at the same time, if I break my fast, I am very rude to the Brahmana, Durvasana, right? So he was thinking what to do. Then his counsel of Brahmana told him, you drink water. Water means breaking fast and not breaking fast. So you are safe. So Maharaj, Ambarish, you know, he took water. After he took water, this Durvasa Muni, when he is bathing, he can see in his mind, oh, this person took water, he broke his fast, he didn't wait for me, no respect. So he rushed back and he created a big fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Right? So this demon came to kill. So because Ambarish Maharaj is a devotee of the Lord invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, and the Sudarshan Chakra killed the demon. Not only killed the demon, he went to kill the creator of the demon, who was Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni ran all over the universe, ran and went to Krishna also. Vishnu said, please help me, your own Sudarshan Chakra is going to kill me. But Durvasa Muni was not, you know, he wouldn't, you know, he prayed so hard, but Lord Vishnu said, no, I'm sorry. You have insulted my devotee, therefore I can't stop my own Sudarshan Chakra. I can't do anything. The only way is if you go back to King Ambarish and beg for his forgiveness. Maybe, there's no guarantee that Sudarshan Chakra will stop, won't kill him. No? Maybe he can be saved. So Durvasa Muni ran back to King Ambarish and begged for his palliative and begged for his forgiveness. But of course, because King Ambarish is such an exalted devotee, no? He's so exalted, he says, I didn't take anything you did as an offense. So immediately, the Sudarshan Chakra disappeared. Just see, this person had so much knowledge, but he didn't recognize Lord Krishna and his devotees. He didn't recognize that. He had so much knowledge, yet he had so much power. Why? Pride. He had no humility. Right? He had no humility and he was pride. He had a lot of pride in him. It caused his downfall. Very important for us. I am dwelling on this because this is the basic. There are so many other things, right? Points. But this is basic. We have to know this. we don't know this. No matter you can be here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, your whole life, you'll never become a devotee. That is the point that you must understand. If anything, today's take-home message is try to become humble and lose this pride in our hearts. Right? This is very, very important. We shall touch on one more. Acharya Upasana, approaching the Acharya. I'm just speaking some important things that we need to know. Why do you need to approach Acharya? To get education. Right? Acharya means teacher. Why you approach Acharya? To get education. There are two kinds of education. One is the material education, one is the spiritual education. Now, material education teaches you, I am this body. I am Indian, I am black, and so on and so forth, and all the nonsense. This is material education. But what is the use of material education? It doesn't help us. There's one story, this scholar went to cross the boat. So he approached the boatman. The boatman said, okay, I will take you across the river, the big river, very huge river. And then as the boat was crossing the river, the boatman was rowing, the scholar said, no, you see this class? Do you know this star? What is the name of this star? The boatman said, I don't know all these things. This is a study of astronomy. You don't know this. One quarter of your life is wasted. The man kept quiet, you know, he's just doing his job. Then after some time, the scholar said, you know these hills? How small? I don't know. Boatman said, I don't know. Another 50% of your life is wasted. Gone. You don't know anything. Then like that you are saying, do you know philosophy? No, I don't know. Three quarters of your life is wasted. At that time there was a big black cloud came. Started to rain so heavily. The river started to move up and down. The boat also went up and down. The water entered the boat broke into two. The scholar was holding on to the boat. The boatman said, do you know how to swim? The scholar said, I don't know. The boatman said, 100% of your life is gone. What is the use of knowledge? Yeah? Must have the proper knowledge. That is, material knowledge is useless. Spiritual knowledge is important. So we have to cultivate both, but know how to apply. Important. For our life in this material world, of course we must have some material knowledge. Yes, I accept that. Most important though is spiritual knowledge. We need to know how to get out of this material world. That is most important. Not how to live in this material world, but how to get out of this material world. That is the most important knowledge that we have to know. To know that, you approach a spiritual master, Acharya, who knows the science of Krishna consciousness. How does he know the science? He knows it because he got it in the disciplic succession. Evam Paramparam Prapta. Right? He's coming in the disciplic succession. The knowledge of how to know who am I and who is God and what is the relationship between me and God. That is important. And that only an Acharya can teach you. a person who comes in the disciplic succession of Krishna. That is the person whom you should approach. This knowledge, Krishna says, Devino asmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. What is the meaning? I am not this body. I move from youth, you know, from childhood to youth to old age, and then at the end of death, I change body. That means I am not this body. I change body. I am the soul. Krishna is teaching us that. And this knowledge, the Acharya is teaching you. So you know you are the soul. So what is the use? I know I'm the soul. What then? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gopi Bhakto Pada Kamalayo Dasana Dasana Das. I am the servant of the servant, the servant of Krishna, the provider of the gopis. That is our realization that we must understand, that you are the servant. You know you are the soul, but you are the servant soul. You are a servant soul for the soul who is serving Krishna, who is serving the gopis who serve Krishna. That is what we know. That is what we understand. We have to understand. That is the identification. That is the real identification of the body. When you say, who am I? Then the answer is, I am the soul. Servant soul who is serving the servant of the servant of the servant or the servant of God Krishna. And that is the real answer. That is why we approach the Acharya. To understand this, otherwise how you understand? You cannot understand by yourself. So, so not that some people said I am a guru. Not that you self made a guru. No? You make a guru and say this is my guru. No, the guru must come in the discipline succession. You cannot say that, like I said earlier, no? You cannot say, okay, I've got all the scriptures, I'm going to take it home, because I don't like anybody in ISKCON, who's not qualified to become my guru, and I study myself. It is not going to happen. You must get a spiritual master. Only then you can become a devotee. Otherwise it's not possible. You cannot say I hate myself. Like I gave you an earlier example, you cannot say you want to be a doctor by reading all the books by yourself. No, it's not going to happen. So the scripture says you must tat vijnatam sa gurum eva vigachat. Abhigachat means you must approach a guru. You must approach a guru. If you don't, we can forget about learning scriptures. A lot of people read scriptures. If you ask, they will say, yes, I have read Bhagavad Gita 100 times. But you ask them who are you, they cannot answer. You ask them who is God, they cannot answer. Because there is no realization. They have got nothing. This human life is, we are very fortunate to have this human form of life, because only in this human form of life we can ask questions. What is this? What is that? But we don't go and ask silly questions like, what is dal? How much is dal? Where can I buy dal? No. Our question should be, who am I? Atato Brahma Jignasa. Jignasa means ask questions. What is this Brahman? What am I? Only the human form of life can you ask. See, there's 8,400,000 species of life, right? Can a fish come out of the water and say, who am I? No, it's a fish. It's not going to do that. Only in the human form of life can you ask this question. because our consciousness is developed to that level only in the human form of life, not in any other form of life. Other form of life, they are only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's all. Now, if you do eating, fighting, and defending, and appropriating, and all that stuff, you are animal also. There's no difference between you and the animal, right? Animal also doing mating and defending and eating and sleeping. If you do the same and nothing more, then what is the difference between an animal and you? We are supposed to have the sixth sense, right? The faculty, you know, the thinking faculty, the intelligence faculty. We must use that to find out, what am I doing here in this material world? Am I happy in this material world? Am I enjoying this? We have to know this, you know. If you don't do that, you don't, then your human life is wasted. Wasted is miserly, you become a miser. Prabhupada here says it's about non-violence. Non-violence doesn't mean that you don't kill animals or you don't beat up another person. That doesn't mean non-violence. Prabhupada makes a statement in the purport that non-violence means you don't even help another person know about Krishna. If you don't let another person know about Krishna, then you're committing violence. How heavy is that statement? That means, if you don't preach, you don't tell another person about Krishna, you are actually performing violence to that person, because that person don't know about Krishna and he's wasting his life. He's going to die. He's wasted. So you have committed violence. That is what Prabhupada said in his purport. So we have to practice, not that we just do chanting and follow the four regulative principles. One of the four regulative principles is don't eat meat, right? And we think that not by not eating meat we are not committing violence. Actually, yeah, Prabhupada says here, non-violence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body. But actually non-violence means not to put others into distress. Prabhupada says this. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is non-violence. Meditate on that for a while, because that is very important. That is, all our conception of violence is different now. Now we have to understand, but by not preaching, we are committing violence. By not telling another person about Krishna, we are committing violence. Time. Okay, the other thing we need to, Prabhupada is saying is cleanliness. Krishna says there are two types of cleanliness. One is external cleanliness, one is internal cleanliness. External cleanliness means taking a bath. Taking a bath twice. In Singapore, maybe three times. Very huge thing. So you have to clean the body. Okay, that is external. Internal cleaning, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What does this chanting do? It cleans. What does it clean? It cleans the dust of the karma that is on our heart. The karma that we have accumulated in our 8,400,000 species of life, times how many million times, I don't know. So millions and million times we have taken this karma, and this karma is covering the heart. Because it covers the heart, we cannot see Krishna. Because Krishna is sitting in our hearts. But the karma is covering it. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Chetano, Cheto Dasmana Marjanam. Why? Why? Clean. Clean the heart. If you can clean the heart, then you can see Krishna. How do you clean? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You chant, you clean the inside. When you clean the inside, then you can see Krishna. By remembering Krishna always, then you become Suchi. In India, there is this word Suchi and Muchi. Suchi means clean, Muchi means dirty, right? So by remembering Krishna always, you can be born in the lowest family, like a cobbler, or even a meat eater's family. But if you chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna, you are considered Suchi. But if you are born in a Brahmana family, but you don't remember Krishna, you are Suchi. You are dirty. You haven't cleaned your body. You can take bath, but you are not cleaning the inside. Inside is still dirty. That's why some people say, no, oh, you know, I bathe and I do everything, whatever you do, but I don't progress because inside is not clean. Inside is full of dirt. You are not cleaning. You are not doing the work properly. Not doing enough for cleaning. Prabhupada said earlier, no? How do you know you have made advancement? You check the items. You check all these 20 items. Do you have any of these? Have you developed any of these qualities? So simply by hearing, right, the nine processes, right, hearing the Acharya, hearing devotees, hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, by chanting the sloka, chanting Hare Krishna, by remembering Krishna, by offering prayers to Krishna, this is another thing. A lot of us don't offer prayers. We just chant, we just go to the temple, we just go home. You must open your heart to Krishna and pray to Him. Tell Him, Krishna, I cannot do anything by myself. I am hopeless, I am foolish, I can't do. I try my best, but still I fall down. But only You, by Your mercy, can help me. Please help me. You have to pray. That's one of the things we have to do. We are not doing. We are most of us just mechanically hearing, mechanically chanting. So we have to pray. Prayer is very, 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 very important. It helps us become strong in our Krishna consciousness. Then you serve the Lord's lotus feet. Then you serve Him as a servant. Then you worship Him with flowers, daily worship. Serve Him as a friend, completely offering finally yourself, Atman. These are things you have to do. The other thing is, Krishna says detachment. This one hurts a lot of family members. But Prabhupada says, as for detachment from children, wives and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for this. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. Heavy statement, huh? Prabhupada himself, when he was a householder, he tried his very, very best for his wife and children to become Krishna conscious. He did so many things. Finally, when they sold his Bhagavad to buy biscuit and tea, Prabhupada said, enough is enough. I have to detach myself from the family. So all of us, must take lessons. Alright? Detachment. Yes, it's not, it is difficult. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One needs only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna, have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, engage oneself in deity worship. Okay, when he says deity worship, it does not have to be deity worship like following the 16 upacharas. No need. You just have a picture of Krishna and offer him food. That itself is enough. You don't have to do more than that. These four things will make one happy. One should train the family members in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna just as Arjuna did. See, Arjuna did not want to kill his family members. But when he understood that these family members were impediments, they were obstacles to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought to kill them. You have to. The time will come, Prabhu and Mataji, when you have to give up family. If you don't cultivate or if you don't mold your life in such a way that you become Krishna conscious, at the end of life when you're going to die, your wife, your children, your relatives, nobody can help you. They're not going to come and say, yes, stop that. Yes, I will stop it. No. No one can stop. Everybody who's born must die. You're born, you go through every nonsense. Krishna says, distress, you get all kinds of sickness, you grow old, and you have to die. Accept it. The difference is, you must be Krishna conscious. Why? If you don't become Krishna conscious before you die, you have to take birth again. You have to be born again into this material world and suffer the nonsense. Who is happy? Happiness comes and goes. One day you are happy, one day you are sad. Everybody has a quota of happiness, everybody has a quota of sadness. No one can say, I'm happy all the time. It's not possible. The only way to be happy all the time is to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says, you have to understand this, because you don't, you can say, yeah, this is very pessimistic, man. This Krishna consciousness makes me feel very sad. Everything is die, die, die. No! You must have the pessimism. Why? Then you have the impetus to say, I want to become Krishna conscious. I want to leave this material world. I want to go back to Godhead. Because when you are in Krishna's association, that is eternal. That is eternal happiness. Do you want eternal happiness or you want up Krishna happiness a little bit, down sadness? Happy sad, happy sad. Why? You have sickness. You have to go for so many non-hospitalization operations and everything you can do, you will have. Why this material body degenerates? This material body is not forever. So we have to cultivate that spiritual knowledge that you are not the body, go back to Godhead. This very life, don't waste time, is getting worse. this Kali Yuga is getting worse, Prabhu said Martinis. Anybody doing anything to make it a better place to live in? No! Why? You saw the Copenhagen meeting? What did they do? They achieved nothing. Why? They're all selfish. I want to live my life now. I don't care about the future generation. Who the hell cares? I want to live now. It's going to get worse. You think this is worse? It's going to get worse. This is bad? It's going to get worse. You have to have the pessimism in your life to say, yes, I'm going to go back life to Krishna in this very life. Make my life Krishna conscious and go back. I don't want to waste my time anymore. Because at the end of the day, nobody is going to help you except yourself. You can have all family members, everybody nice to you, oh, very good. But nobody at the end of time, your time is over. Nobody will help you except yourself. So we have to cultivate Krishna consciousness now. We'll stop here and ask you this one question, two questions, whatever. And you can answer. No question means everybody knows they're going to back to hell. What hey? All fixed up? All fixed up, right? That determination must come. That determination to go back to Godhead must come now. Not tomorrow. Because no one can tell that they will live forever. For no one can say, I'm not going to die tomorrow. No one can say, I'm going to die 1 year from now. Who can say? No one can say. Everybody will don't know. We are all living life thinking that we will never die. As far as I'm concerned, I'm so young, I'm not going to die. That old mother said, he's going to die first. But no, you can die first. The old mother will probably live another 20 years. Who knows? So we must make our life such that anytime you die, you are ready to go back to Godhead. That is our instruction from Krishna. We have to accept that. We have to know that. Okay? If there's no question, or no comment, we shall stop here and have kirtan before we go for prasadam. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you, Premanandi, Hari Hari Bhagavad Gita.